We got Clarence. Can you please ask Barbara Friedman if she watched Annika Larsson's interview with Melinda Ferguson last night on ETV?
No, I actually didn't. I don't actually have ETV. I will probably watch it later. Annika's a friend of mine, and she did it. And I actually chatted to her a bit about it before. I said to her,
Stephen's observations are, I was very unimpressed with Melinda, and I thought she made it all about Melinda, and she made some very serious allegations about what happened. These two families are grieving whatever did happen, and Melinda is reminding me of a London tabloid and just seeking fame and fortune. Stephen, you know he's not.
I think it's a very difficult area when you quickly write a book about something that has been, you know, in the public domain in the way that the AKA and LA story has been.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
And she seems to be handling it. She seems to be standing strong in her decision to write the book. I mean, you've interviewed her.
I did.
What were your thoughts? I don't know. You know, she's...
Well, she raised the ire of both friends of AKA and Anneli's family.
Yeah, she did.
So she's putting stuff out there. How she presents herself in relation to the evidence.
Now, I think it's very difficult writing about a story that is so recent, is my view in my history of doing... Now, I was a third degree for years, and we used to do quite a lot of... sensitive stories, but I would often sometimes they were quite quick after it had happened, and I always felt that was a bit uncomfortable to try and like delve into people's pain. It's not easy, and I never found that easy. But I remember one thing I did later, did a documentary for a different, when I worked in a documentary.
This is a murder, company. Very public murder,
yeah,
we're talking about.
Years later, it's easier sort of in hindsight to write and tell stories. Do you know what I mean? With time, I think when you're doing it when the pain is so raw.
I hear what you're saying.
I think you're going to get huge backlash.
But we're talking about a celebrity.
No, I get that, but when you write a book that quickly.
A public job.
No, I know, but...
Yeah. Okay, let's go to your story. It's Barb's Wire. What's trending on socials?
Yeah.
And I hate this, but we got to talk out about these kind of things.
Yeah,
so you go
for it. Last night, I saw it starting to trend and break on all the media platforms. And this was a report about very popular Iranian rapper Tumash Salehi, and his lawyer actually telling one of the Iranian newspapers that he has now been sentenced to death. He was arrested a few years ago because of his protests supporting Mahsa Amini, the Kurdish-Iranian young woman who died in police custody after being arrested by the morality police there for wearing improper hijab, to quote. And she then died in police custody. Her family believed that was at the hands of the police. The police said she had a heart attack. And he was one of the people, he has been involved in protesting against the Iranian regime. He has been arrested. He's been in prison. And now his lawyer says he's been sentenced to death for his part in those protests. And my blood runs cold when I read that. He is, you know, he's this amazing man. He has about, I think he has like over 2 million followers on his Instagram. He does a lot of protest rap against the regime, particularly in support of women and women's freedoms and their right to do what they want to do.
And the women of Persia are just absolutely amazing women.
Unbelievable.
They've always been at the forefront of struggle in Iran.
Yeah, and now, you know, the situation, I mean, there are quite a number of men who have been executed for their involvement. So it's not
unacceptable.
So they're going to appeal this decision. But just seeing those headlines all over social media that this man, you know, has been sentenced to death for his support in those protests, it really did make me get, you know, a chill. So
I got a very dear friend from Tehran. Her name is Mariam, and she took a pretty strong stance on the death of Tumash Salehi.
Should maybe try to chat to her.
She could have been killed as well for that.
Exactly,
for that
and you know, that is serious. But there's serious danger when you protest there. It's
unacceptable.
Quite unbelievable.
And given our history, these are the issues that we need to take up.
I feel we don't talk about that enough. I don't know. I just feel like there's so many people in Iran and women who do these incredible things.
Amazing stories out of Iran. And the women, Persian women, incredible.
Incredible.
Go and read up about Persian women.
Yeah.
Leaf can be taken from that book. The tallest building in the world. What's the obsession with these tall phallic like
As I read that, I thought exactly the same thing. And then I thought, okay, let me try not to be so absolutely, you know, knee-jerk reaction. Like, why do we need such a ridiculously tall building? This building that is now planned for Oklahoma City, which I just find the oddest thing because it's prairie land with tornadoes.
I'm imagining a Western movie.
Well, yeah, why would you want the tallest building in the United States? So they've now, it's been green-lighted to start with. In just 2 months, it went through quite a lot of planning, stages and having to jump through hoops. And it's going to surpass the heights of the New York City's One World Trade Center and Chicago's Willis Tower. So, yes, okay, Oklahoma City, you win. You're going to have the tallest building. And it's going to be 1,907 feet tall, which is, I think, 581 meters tall. I think that's over half a kilometer tall. And I sort of went to like read a little bit about it because the question are there any pros to having tall buildings? And I suppose the argument is in cities where people want to come and live, where the space is limited, having taller buildings is a way of saving people from using more of the environment.
Having the tallest building?
I don't understand that.
That is ego. That's ostentatious, especially in the manner that it's...
Exactly. I mean, like, you can build tall buildings to accommodate what we're saying, space and environmental usage of resources.
I have no problem with smart.
Yeah, but why must it be the tallest? Because once that's built, are we going to have some other city decide we're going to build the tallest building, and then when does it stop?
The tallest building in the world is the one in Dubai.
Burj Khalifa.
That one. It's the tallest building in the world. Up till recently, its sewage needs were sorted by trucks driving in every morning.
And that is the question that we
must
one
be
has
smart.
To ask.
Otherwise, it is just who's got the biggest.
Yes. And then the question is, do we all need to be living in these cities? I get it. The jobs are there and there are reasons people come to cities. But you know, like you look at the prairies of Oklahoma and you think, like, go and live on the prairie.
I'm thinking John Wayne.
I know. And
that's going to be over some people's heads.
But anyway, I mean, I get that there are some there are some pros in the modern world to having tall buildings, to house people close to their jobs, to use less resources, because it does. But why does it always have to be the tallest building?
There's so much you can do. Solar power in through all of that
exposure.
Yeah,
just make the slightly not so tall buildings smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not smart. It's ostentatious.
It is ostentatious. And then finally, would you do whatever it takes to extend your life is the question that came into my mind when I read this article. It's all about John Cleese. I mean, we all know John Cleese, actor and comedian, the Monty Python co-creator and star. I mean, he was in South Africa a few years ago, and I recall one of the things about his tour then was pleading poverty. It was a thing that he actually spoke about. But he's now done an interview recently, and he told the interviewer that it was for Saga magazine. He says that he has been spending £17,000 every year, every 12 months, for the past 20 years on stem cell therapy to combat the effects of aging. He gets the stem cells from Switzerland, and he's been doing this. He's now, I think he's 82 or 83.
So did you say annually?
Annually.
That's about 350,000 rand.
It's actually even, I worked it out, it was a bit more. I think it's about 400,000. Yeah, it's £17,000. That's close to 400,000 rand per year.
For how much life? How much extra life?
Well, who knows? His current wife, in his fourth marriage, is 30 years younger than him. So maybe he feels he has to keep up. I don't know. They have a 32-year age gap. And he says, in the interview, he says, I'm looking pretty good for 84. And I don't know. What's it doing on his insides? You know, stem cells go around your body and they work out where they need to fix things. Would you spend 400,000 rand a year on stem cells in the hope that it was going to give you extra life? What is your elixir for youth?
Firstly, do I have 400,000?
No. But also he's...
And if you had 400,000, no, is it a hypothetical? Yeah. If you have 400,000.
Now we know why he's got no money. Because he's been pleading poverty.
I think I'll have a whole lot of happiness with an extra 400,000 rand. And that's ultimately
that's
where
keep you living
longevity
longer.
Comes from. Yeah.
You could go on a lovely like world tour every year. and just or go to places that you've always wanted to see. There's so many things you could do with the money, and that would make you happier, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Stem cells.
Yeah, okay. That's where we're going to rest it for today. Barbara Friedman, the thing's trending today. She takes us everywhere, doesn't she? Do you remember John Wayne? If you want to comment on anything, you're welcome via WhatsApp at 072-567-1056.